Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Welcome, students, to our lesson summary review for tonight. We're studying our bachelor's degree course, Cornerstones of Truth, tonight. And we're on session number 8. And I pray that you'll go ahead and have your study materials with you and study along with us. We pray that this lesson review will help you get a better depth of understanding of our courses from our bachelor's degree program. Now, this is the third course of the 18 courses in our bachelor's in practical ministry program. And tonight's session is dealing with sin and salvation, problem and solution. And again, this is session lesson number 8. Now, this session will help the students to understand the reality of sin and its dreadful consequences, as well as the plan that God has provided for sinners to be forgiven and restored to his favor. And this lesson should encourage every student not to take these subjects lightly. And as we always do, we're going to take time to pray in preparation for our time of study and learning. I ask each one of you to pray for the Holy Spirit to convict you of anything in your life that is not pleasing to God, and pray that our learning and our teaching will be effective. And we need to realize also, as we prepare our hearts and minds for this lesson, that the things that we teach and the things that we learn from this lesson rest upon our own experience of having received God's forgiveness for our sins. And so right now, let's take some time to pray for one another, pray for every student and staff member of Grace Bible College Seminary. Father, we thank you for the students now. Thank you for each person listening to this broadcast. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in their lives. For those who have not accepted Jesus, that their hearts would be open to receive him today, and that the Holy Spirit would do a cleansing work in their hearts, will bring renewal, will bring restoration, joy, and peace. I pray for your protection and your provision for every person on the sound of my voice. And we ask these things, and we honor the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. Tonight we're on the course, Cornerstones of Truth, which is dealing with Bible doctrine. We're on lesson number 8, which is entitled Sin and Salvation, Problem and Solution. Now, as we begin this week's lesson review, I'd like to emphasize that the entrance of sin into the world had dreadful consequences. If you looked at your study guide and as you went through this lesson, you have been made aware of that. Now, I want to ask you this question. What are some of the dreadful consequences of sin entering into the world? And if you will go through your lesson guide and compare some of the scripture references that we're giving in your lesson, and I will also give you some more scripture lessons, we can see that when sin entered the world, it broke man's relationship with God. It also gave mankind a sinful nature. It led to physical suffering and even death. When sin entered the world, it also created a hostile environment between God's creation. And worst of all, unless sin is forgiven, it results in eternal punishment and separation from God forever. And the lesson also wants us to stress that there is a remedy to this problem of sin. We know, and this is the essence of the gospel, or the good news that the Bible contains for us, is that God sent his Son into the world to die so that sin may be canceled and those who had sinned could be restored into right relationship and fellowship with God. So, students, as we look at this lesson, we'll see that when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we receive a new life and are adopted into God's family as his children, sons and daughters of God. And one of the things that the lesson also pointed us to is that it wanted us to take a look at this particular portion of Scripture. If you have your notes, take note of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, which is the story of a man named Nicodemus, who was a Jewish teacher and member of the religious council in Israel during the time of Christ. He was a man who came and sought Jesus by night so that he wouldn't be seen or known to have visited him with a question. And Nicodemus, this educated leader, prominent position in the nation of Israel and in his religious community, asked Jesus a question: how can a man be born a second time? How can he receive eternal life? Is what Nicodemus asked Jesus. And of course, Nicodemus, being a learned man, thought that he simply just needed someone to teach him the way that he could understand intellectually. But if you read the rest of the story, you'll see that Jesus says he needed more than just a teacher. He explained to Nicodemus that you need a savior. And that's why, unless you're born again, Jesus spoke of the water and the spirit, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And so we understand, as we look at those portions of Scripture, that since Nicodemus was seeking the truth, he hoped Jesus would teach him something new. And again, Jesus let him know that the new thing that he was missing out of all of his learning and teaching was the need of a Savior. So Nicodemus, Jesus explained, and what that lesson is saying for us as well, is that Nicodemus needed a new nature, just as all of us do, and only God could give this to him by being born of the water and the Spirit. So let's take a look at the next section of our lesson. We have two major headings that we're going to look at in this week's lesson. The first thing we're going to look at this week is the message of salvation. And from whom do we seek for the salvation? Now, in the story that we just shared with you briefly, Nicodemus sought salvation basically from religion, from following traditions and doctrines and such. But just as Jesus is saying to him, that is a spiritual condition. It is a new nature to counteract and overcome the sin nature that we all have that is needful for us. And Jesus came to pay the penalty for sin, which blocked us from having the ability to receive this new nature from God. So let's take a look at an exercise sheet that this lesson brought to our attention. And if you get a blank sheet of paper, you may be able to jot down some of these questions. And if you're not, contact us. If you're not able to write down the questions, you can contact us. We'll send you a copy of the exercise sheet that you can continue to go over on your own. But if you're going to take some notes with us, here's the first question we want to think about as we try to answer the question: salvation for whom? Who is salvation for? And so here's question number one we want to ask you in regard to that. If someone should ask you, what must I do to be saved, what would you tell them? To think about that for just a second. And as you look at your study guide and the scripture references that the lesson brought to your attention, we realize that we need to share with people that sinners must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. It's not about attending church or going to church or confessing solely with your mouth. You must also believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. And the scripture says, you shall be saved. We also need to know that Jesus died to save all who will repent or turn away from their sins. They also need to know that sinners must turn away from all sin and accept Christ as their personal Savior, that he died for their personal sin. And then they must let others know that he is Lord of their lives. This is where the confession of the mouth and the believing of the heart comes into mind. So if someone were to ask you, what must I do to be saved? These are some of the things that I pray that you will be able to share with them. A second question that our lesson brought to our attention was this. What is the difference between water baptism and the new birth? Now, the lesson gave us this, the following answer. It stated to us that the new birth happens when a sinner repents and claims the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. Then the Holy Spirit enters into their heart and changes the sinner's heart and gives them the power to change their lifestyle. It's a transformative power that takes place. Now, that's what happens when we are get the new birth or born of the Spirit that Jesus was talking about. Now, water baptism, on the other hand, is the outward testimony of the fact that an inner change is taking place. It's the follow-up action to what is on follow-up action on the outside of what took place inside with the new birth. So, because the new birth takes place inside of a person, we see that water baptism cannot save the person. It only testifies to the salvation that has been received by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. So one is the transformative power, the life change power that comes from God through the Holy Spirit that takes place inside of a person, and that may lead them to the act of water baptism to testify to the life change. A third question, as we think about salvation for whom, is this. If reformation does not mean regeneration, explain the difference. Okay, so again, we want to think about the word reformation and regeneration. Let's see what the difference between the two words are. First, let's start with reformation. Reformation usually means changing one's habits and improving one's conduct by his or her own willpower. Now, regeneration, on the other hand, is not one's own work, but the work of God in the person. It is an interchange by which the Holy Spirit, again, makes you a new creation with a new lifestyle. So the reformation are the things that we try to do to change ourselves, and the regeneration is what God does to change us. This is the same thing he was explaining to Nicodemus, why a man must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Just having more knowledge and trying to take that knowledge and govern and reform your behavior to fit that knowledge will not bring about the complete change that Christ expects us to have. It will not bring about the salvation of God. But regeneration, on the other hand, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, allowing God to complete the work of salvation inside of your heart, results in the inner change that makes us a new creation with a new lifestyle. So that is the difference between reformation and regeneration. A fourth question we like to ask in regards to this, and we're studying lesson number 8 from the course Cornerstones of Truth, Sin and Salvation, the Problem and the Solution. Question number 4 is this. Why is Christ called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45? Make note of that portion of scripture and you can read it. Why is Christ called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45? And the answer that the study guide pointed you to and what you will get from looking at that scripture is that the first Adam that God formed from the dust of the earth began the natural race, the physical race of mankind, which led all of those who were born after him into sin because of the sin nature that he had obtained from disobeying God was transmitted to every other person that came after him. So that is why the first Adam was created in that image of a natural man. Now, Christ did not come from the earth. He came from heaven to begin a new spiritual race of people. See the difference? Adam began the physical race of people. Adam came from the earth. Christ came from heaven to be the first of a spiritual race of people. Again, It feeds right back into what Jesus was telling Nicodemus, that a person must be born again of the water and the Spirit, or created anew, or made alive again by the Spirit. And so, just as Adam's sin nature led us into sin, Christ's spiritual nature leads us out, or frees us from sin, frees us from disobeying God, and gives us the power to obey. So that is why Christ is called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. Let's look at three more questions in this section. Here's a scripture we want you to make note of. What does James chapter 1, verse 27 mean by the use of the word pollution? Now, some translations may have a different word, or uncleanness. But what does James chapter 1, verse 27 mean by the word pollution or uncleanness? Well, in this particular case, we need to understand that pollution means moral impurity, doing the things that are right in God's sight or wrong in God's sight. It is to violate God's will, His word, His ways, His commands. So there is much uncleanness in the world around us, and our lives can become contaminated also unless we protect ourselves. And God wants us to be holy or clean or pure in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. And this is why it's so very important that we receive this inward change that changes us, our hearts, our minds, and gives us a new lifestyle where our deeds and behavior will become changed as well. So that's what James is referring to in chapter 1, verse 27, by the word pollution or uncleanness. A sixth question we like to answer in this review is this. If God does not want people to go to hell, why did He prepare the eternal fire? Or why did He prepare or create hell? Now, according to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, we understand that the eternal fire or hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and not for men or women. For God had already decided to pass eternal judgment upon all the angels, including Satan, who had rebelled against Him. So we need to understand that God wants all people to be saved and to live forever with Him in heaven, or in the kingdom of heaven. But if they refuse to accept the Savior, then they cannot enter into His kingdom. Therefore, those who refuse or rebel against God's authority, just as Satan and his angels did, they will go into the eternal fire or hell by their own choice. It's not God's choice to send people to hell. It is people's choice to reject Christ and to choose hell over heaven. So this is how we need to understand that God does not want or desire that anyone goes to hell. One scripture says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, come to receive this new birth, come to have this inward change, this life transformation that points them toward God and not toward themselves. A seventh and final question we want to look at in this review is this. Once a person is what we call saved, or have made this decision and received this inward change and indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, how can he or she keep his or her salvation? Well, the lesson brought to our attention, and there are several scriptures. We'll give you 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 as a reference. We need to know that a person may keep his or her salvation by continuing to believe on Christ and to continually and more depend upon Him, to allow Him not only to be your Savior, which Jesus died and shed His blood to purchase your salvation, but they will also become your Lord, Master, or Ruler. And the way He rules you is by the gift of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the same one which conceived in Mary's womb, from which Christ was born as the Son of God. so that the same faith and trust that we make when we accept Christ or that saves a person will keep us in a state of being saved, keep us in a state of experiencing our steady growth in the grace, which is the undeserved favor of God, and keep us growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what Peter was talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And some of the ways that we can do this to help maintain that active relationship, that communion, the intimacy with God is through daily prayer, through Bible reading, and also through fellowship with other believers. This is one of the ways that a person can, once they've received Christ and are saved, how they can maintain that salvation and to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So those are some very basic teachings that are relevant to us in relation to sin and salvation. Sin is the problem. Salvation is the solution for the problem of sin. And so as we went through this week's lesson, we see that salvation is for all who have sinned. Salvation is available for all who wants to receive the inward change that is necessary to bring about a new birth. Salvation is for all who want to be regenerated, not just reformed, but want to experience regeneration, where they can have a power to become a new creation. And we've seen some of the ways in which the scriptures pointed to how we are changed as a result of our receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and repenting of our sins. So in conclusion to this week's lesson, students, I want you to review the main points of the lesson, and we're going to ask some of the following questions to help us to do that, that you can think about briefly and maybe write down some notes about them. Let me go over these quickly for you. Here are some of the things that I want you to think about as we conclude this lesson. Adam and Eve fell as a result of Satan's temptation, but what caused Satan's downfall? If we see the scriptures and our lesson pointed to the fact that Satan was proud and he envied God's position, so he rebelled against and tried to overthrow God. Another question I want you to think about. What does the Bible mean when it speaks of Adam's trespass, as made reference to in Romans chapter 5, verse 15? Well, the answer that you need to think about is the word trespass means to enter forbidden territory. That's why God's commands are intended to be like fences that keep us from trespassing into dangerous territory and injuring ourselves. That's what it means to trespass. Do not go beyond the boundaries of God's word. Do not cross the limits. Another question we need to think about is, how did Adam's sin affect his descendants or all those who came after him? We talked about this a little bit earlier, and we see that since Adam was the head of the human race, the judgment that was upon him touched all of the human race. It made all of us sinners by nature and brought many hardships on the human race. It also changed the natural order and affected man's relations to both plant and the animals as well as one another. We see not soon after Adam and Eve's sin and disavowment in the garden that murder through Cain and Abel came into man's nature. So we see how sin affected Adam as well as all humans after him. Another question is this. Sins of commission are one kind of sin. But let's name three other kinds that our lesson talked about. Are the three other kinds of sin besides the sin of commission? You can make note of these three if you can write these down. The other three kinds of sins are what's called sins of omission, not sins of commission. Sins of commission are the things that you do that violate God's law. Sins of omission are sins that are done by not doing what God has commanded you to do. It can also be likened to being what we should not be or being what we should be. These are other kinds of sin, how sin can enter into our lives. A couple more questions here. Since Christ died to save everyone, why is not everyone saved? Well, the simple answer is this, that Christ died and sacrificed himself to save all who would believe in him. But again, as we mentioned earlier, those who choose to reject him, those who choose to love their sins and do not accept the salvation that Jesus has offered will be lost and face eternal damnation in hell. So even though Christ came to save the world has to accept the salvation which he offers. Another question. What did Jesus mean by saying we should have life and have it to the full or more abundantly, as mentioned in John chapter 10, verse 10? Well, a quick answer is this. In the lesson pointed to this, we believe that he meant that through his redeeming work on the cross, through paying the penalty for our sins, that we may receive physical as well as spiritual restoration, wholeness, completeness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance, self-control, which is a much more abundant life than what we could have lived prior to receiving Christ Jesus. And this is part of what the living life to the full is all about. We can receive healing for our mind, our body, our soul. We can receive the peace that comes from God. Two more questions. What two effects come to us when we walk in the light, as we read about in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7? But when we walk in the light, the scripture is basically saying that we have fellowship with God and we have cleansing from our sins. For light and darkness cannot coexist together, so if we walk in the light of Christ, we cannot live in the darkness of sin. And so we become separated from the effects and the power of sin as we continue to walk in the light of God's word, God's knowledge, and God's wisdom in right relationship with God. This is why that maintaining of salvation is so important. Last question for this review is, where does the Bible say the wicked shall perish or be destroyed? And does this mean that they shall cease to exist? Well, according to the Greek text, to perish or to be destroyed means to be ruined. It does not mean to become extinct or fail to exist anymore. We can see in Matthew 25, verse 46, we see that on the king's left hand are those who are separated from those who are on his right hand. And Jesus says to those on his left that they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous on his right will enter into eternal life. So here the same word eternal is used in reference to heaven and to hell. Both will have eternal life, but one will be in torment and the other will be in the peace of God's kingdom. So I want you students to think about any persons that you can identify in your mind right now. Write their names down, if they're a family member, friend, or an acquaintance who you think may not know the Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I want to pray with you, and I want you to pray for each person on your list for the salvation of their souls. We want to ask the Holy Spirit for opportunities to witness to them, or that Christ would send someone to witness to them. For we certainly understand the seriousness of sin as a problem, but we understand the possibilities of salvation as the solution to the problem of sin. So I pray that this lesson has blessed you. May you walk in the fullness of your salvation. May you maintain your salvation. And may you continue to experience the abundance and full life that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. So I bless you, students. Thank you for allowing me this time. I'll look forward to our next session. In the meantime, God bless you and good night.